Hello, Chaz and AJ.
Hi, it's William. How are you?
William, welcome back.
There you are.
Hey.
How the hell you been?
Oh, doing all right.
Good.
Doing all right. How are you guys? Yeah.
Excellent.
So far, so good. I do have a cramp, though. Just kidding.
Oh, no.
But that's not important right now.
Thanks for waking up and coming on in a very unusual way to begin an interview.
Yes, I should say, yes. I expect nothing less, though.
Exactly.
Right.
Good. You knew what you were getting into when
Seriously.
You called us.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Great to have you on again. Congratulations on all your success.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
2006, you joined Alice in Chains. How do you get asked to be the front man to Alice in Chains?
It wasn't exactly like a formal boardroom proposal. It was more like, at that time, I came in, I did like a rehearsal. And, of course, I'd known Cantrell for some years by then, and we had toured together. You know, he knew what was up, and it was just a matter of getting to know Inez and Kenny a bit more. And so we all, you know, we played together, and then afterwards it was kind of like, well, we got these shows coming up. You know, would you do these shows? And then I said yes to that, and then more shows got booked, and then more shows got booked. And before you know it, we had gone around the world in 2006. You know, so
it's like 20 you know, years.
That's kind of how it evolved. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you had,
so here we are.
It sounds like you had Jerry's vote when you walked in.
Yeah.
And the rest of the band, as soon as they heard you sing.
Yep.
Yeah, that's accurate.
What I read was they were very impressed that you didn't try to be the last guy, that you came in being yourself.
Yeah, exactly. That's all. I wouldn't have done it any other way. And that's all. That's all one can do, really, I think, in the end. It's just be yourself and do your thing. And so that's what happened.
Well, you were in a band called Neon Christ, which would be a cool band name for this upcoming weekend.
Seriously, yeah.
I don't know if it was so cool at the time, especially in Atlanta at that time.
Did you have problems with that?
Oh, yeah.
You had problems?
In the 80s. It was not so cool with a lot of people then, but I thought of that name and figured it might provoke some questions or whatever reaction or whatever. That's how it is when you're 15, 16 and you want to get out here and make a noise. So it was effective.
Right.
It really was.
That's the whole thing behind punk though. Punk music was that you're causing a reaction. It was anti-establishment.
Yeah.
So you're in the right direction then.
Yeah, and we succeeded on that front.
There you go, see? Defense rests, we're good.
Alice in Chains coming to Mohegan Sun May 8th. We're talking to William Duvall. But you have a degree of philosophy with an emphasis on religion, so it wasn't like you were hating on Jesus.
Yeah.
Not at all. No. Quite the contrary, I think. Yeah, if anything, there's definitely layers to it, and it was partially about how so much of all of that and everything that has to do with that is so abused and so manipulated and used for such evil ends. So, yeah, it was a multi-layer kind of commentary, yeah, for sure.
And the idea of the name Neon Christ, did that come from like a neon sign that said Jesus saves, or where did that come from?
Well, it was a friend of mine, a girl I knew, came up to me and she said, I had this dream and at the end of it was this neon Jesus. And I said, oh, there you go, Neon Christ.
That's one,
you know?
Cool.
I have an epiphany. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we're excited about you guys, Alice in Chains, coming to Mohegan Sun with special guest Chain Saint.
Yes.
On May 8th, what should we expect?
Oh, man. You know, we're going to have a good time, of course. And Chain Saint are just a fantastic band.
All right, I'm going to go through a couple songs. You say yay or nay if we're going to hear them.
Okay.
I Stay Away.
Yay.
No excuses.
Yay.
Them Bones.
No, actually, so wait. You're talking about what we might play?
Yes.
Is that where? Okay, so... So I Stay Away, probably not, just because it's got all of that orchestration kind of stuff, you know.
Oh, and that's why he stays away. Yeah.
We did that. We did do that, however, in Seattle some years ago. I think maybe 2007, something like that. We did a thing. It was a charity thing, and the orchestra was behind us. Boy, that was that was a fabulous gig. But we did Kashmir by Zeppelin with the
nice.
Full orchestra, and then we did I Stay Away, and. Anyway, yeah. So that was cool. People can find that on YouTube. But No Excuses, that there's a really good chance of that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Them Bones, Man in a Box.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, too.
Yeah. You kind of have to.
Otherwise, you can't leave. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to spike your tires.
Luxury problems to have. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And then you guys are playing a lot of different shows with a lot of different bands. You're playing with Metallica, Korn, Linkin Park, Green Day. Any bands that you're excited to play with this summer?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, it's always good to reconnect with Metallica. Honestly, I got to look at the roster on some of these festivals, because there's probably a lot of groups that are like, oh, my God, I didn't know they were playing. You know, so like a lot of times we show up to these things and it's like, you know who's here, right? And it's like, oh, really? And then you got to go over to their trailer and say hello.
Right.
Who do you like fan out over?
Yeah, who are you fanboying?
I'm a fan of all the, you know, everyone you might suspect as far as just the bands of that certain era. I mean, including Metallica and everything.
Right.
Because I was there trading tapes before Metallica had an album out. You know, I remember when Mustaine was still in the band and when he left the band, and we were tape trading. A lot of them were live tapes, you know.
And what were you trading tapes of, your own bands or?
Yeah, well, at that time, you know, punk and metal were kind of still, you know, worlds apart, you know what I mean? In terms of the audiences and actually the negativity and vitriol between the two camps. And so myself and my friends were among the kids who were like, nah, man, all of this is cool. You know what I mean? Like we still like Black Sabbath and we like Black Flag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
right.
We were kind of like the kids who were like, when Metallica came out, we were like, oh, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is what we've been waiting for, because these guys are kind of, they're another bridge.
What year, you know, are we talking about? Chart, like what period?
Like 82, 83, you know? Like,
well, I'm going back a ways, yeah.
So we liked Motorhead. We liked the early Metallica. We liked, God, there was a group from England called Discharge that was really kind of starting to bridge the two things. And so, yeah, we kind of took that and ran. And
so you were among the punk crowd and the metal crowd, among the two music camps rebelling against the Eagles, Fleetwood Mac,
right.
the Tom Petty's and Peter Frampton.
Yeah, well, yeah, I would say 70s punk was a reaction to those, you know, groups you named. And the 80s hardcore thing was more of a reaction against what was happening at the time.
Leather pants and hairspray.
You know, hair metal.
Well, yeah, that, and also, you know, being 15 years old and having to worry about something like nuclear holocaust happening in your time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The whole thing. I mean, whether it was theater or not, we can all look back on these things now with hindsight and everything. But at the time, being a kid, like, it was really a thing, and it was everywhere, and it was being addressed in all strata of society, from the news to the music, the pop music. You know, like everyone was dealing with it in some way, and so the sound and the urgency we were feeling was reflected in the way we dealt with it. So that was the hard, fast, you know, loud music.
But then there were the Poisons that were doing the opposite. Ain't
right.
Nothing but a good time.
Right, right. So happy, happy.
Unskinny
sure.
Bop.
Yes. Right. Party.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, there's a place for that too. It just wasn't my thing, but you know, it's like, I look, you know, now it's like, I have an appreciation for all kinds of music. And so even then there were certain things where, you know, I could look at that and go, yeah, that's cool. You know, like,
all right,
then,
let's test this.
Like, oh, test him.
Uh-huh. Let's test this.
Okay.
Talking to William Duvall, singer, Alice in Chains, coming to Mohegan Sun. Name a power ballad from the 80s that is a guilty pleasure.
Okay. Guilty pleasure, Cheap Trick. What's that one? The
Flame?
The Flame, yeah. Because Robin Zander is such a freaking fantastic singer. That, like, and I know that they don't even like that song, or they didn't at the time. It was one of those battles with the label kind of thing. But I got to say, as a guilty pleasure for a power ballad, that is one.
I love that song.
I didn't see it coming.
You could hear the pain in his voice.
Yeah, because he has to sing it.
Him and that acoustic guitar together is all you needed. Then the band kicks in.
Yep.
I'll give you another one that might even be a stranger choice, at least for some people coming from me. But I got to say it. Bon Jovi, I'll Be There for You.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. It's like, it's a power ballad that, I don't know, there's something about it.
What's those five words? Yeah.
He delivered a great performance. Yeah, the whole thing together, it's like, yeah, that works. Like that dude singing that song for the audience he was singing it for totally works, and I get it, you know?
So, and it reminds me of a 50s song, the whole... The way
exactly.
It's written, like you could take that, give it to a group in the 50s, and they would have.
You could.
It would work.
Yeah.
Yes. Dion and the Belmonts could have done a doo-wop version of that song.
Right.
No problem.
Exactly. Yes. And that high note he hits.
Yep.
Yes. That, forget about it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was by
accident.
Give it up.
That was by accident,
yeah.
By the way.
I give it up.
Yeah.
It was killer. It was killer. So hats off, you know? But yeah, I mean, I had an appreciation for things even as a kid, like, you know, the punk rock days. Like I could look at a Tears for Fears song and go, yeah, man, that's cool. You know, that's like, that's some great record making. You know?
That's
like,
the thing. If you look into anybody's, you know, iTunes or whatever it is they use.
Yeah.
You see every genre from, you know, Sinatra to Chicago
influences,
blues
to... Yeah.
All different types of music. No one goes down one lane.
No.
Yeah, especially nowadays, because it's all, like you said, it's all there, like, in your iPhone, you know, or your whatever device you're
not using. Hard to find, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we used to have to, as a kid, when I was a kid, you had to go through the record store and go through the racks and, you know, leafing through. And that was amazing, too, because you were looking for something, but you might find 10 other things. And then you got the, you know, maybe the cat down the row from you, he's looking at something, oh yeah, man, I got that, you know, and I met some of my best friends to this day, trolling through the racks at the old record stores, the old mom and pop record stores. Now, you know, kids are just looking stuff up on YouTube.
Right, there's no, I hope it's there.
They don't leave the couch.
When you were in a record store and you flipped to the record you were looking for and it was there.
Yep.
You felt like you just hit the lottery.
Treasure.
You found it.
Yes. Sure.
Absolutely. Especially if it was something more obscure that you'd maybe been looking for months. What would happen a lot of times is you'd go looking for the one thing and you'd find that one thing, but then you go a little longer and you're like, oh my God, they got this. You know what I mean? And so you're walking out of there, you know, emptying your pockets.
Yeah. But you've got it. Yeah.
Yeah. What you thought you would.
Oh, my God. And that walk home with those records under your arm and the anticipation of getting home to the turntable to put it on and put that needle down.
Yep.
Oh, love it.
That was real. That was real, dude. Yeah, for sure.
Well, we're looking forward. I could talk to you all day, by the way.
Seriously, yes.
Thank you.
All right. One more weirdo question here. If you were to cover a power ballad, what would you pick?
Golly. I got to think about that because there's some good ones in the, and you know, we just named a couple guilty pleasure ones, but you know, there's some really good songs that maybe they weren't done originally as power ballads, but
right.
Maybe could be kind of recast.
Oh, and, nice. Right.
And like you mentioned, even there's songs from the 50s or early 60s where you're just going like, man, cause I actually love doo-wop music. So I take a song like The Flamingos, I Only Have Eyes for You. And that record, it's one of the most perfect records ever made to me. So, like, when you talk about a song where I'm going, hey, I would love to do something with that, like, that's one that comes to mind.
Well, you hear the Flamingos version and then the Sinatra version. It's two completely different songs, both
exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And that's, again, the hallmark of a great tune is that you can recast it so many ways. The only hesitation I'd have with messing with that song, I Only Have Eyes for You, is I think the Flamingos probably did it like so perfectly that I wouldn't want to mess with
it. Right, right. But, yeah. What do you do with that one?
Yeah.
How do you improve that one?
I don't know. But you know, God Only Knows by the Beach Boys, that's another one.
That'd be cool.
Oh, like, my God.
That'd be cool.
World, how did you come up with it? Like, you know, that's one of those. He's got another one on that same record where Don't Talk, Put Your Head on My Shoulder. And you ever check out the Beach Boys Pet Sounds album, there's God Only Knows, but then there's that other one, Don't Talk, Put Your Head on My Shoulder.
I don't remember that one.
Cool, man. Powerful.
Really?
Record making. The string section alone, there's a part where he the lyric, he says, listen to my heartbeat, and then he says, listen, 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 and the strings take over. It is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. And this kid was 23 years old producing that whole thing. He's in charge of the whole orchestra of musicians, directing them, doing the charts, the whole nine. phenomenal.
Genius.
Unbelievable.
Nice. I remember hearing Paul McCartney saying he heard that album and said, what the hell are we going to do to top that?
Wow.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And
yeah,
then they did Sgt. Pepper's.
Okay.
They did. Yeah, not a bad retort.
All right, so listen for Alice in Chains doing Don't Talk, Put Your Head on My Shoulder.
Exactly, yes.
Mohegan Sun.
To a T.
May 8th.
With the orchestra.
With the orchestra.
Right, right. Yeah. In suits.
Yeah.
That would, you know what? That would be viral.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. That would be something.
Oh, man. It's always great talking to you. Thank you so much. We're so excited that you guys are coming and looking forward to it. William Duvall, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on again, guys. Always
thank
a pleasure.
You.
All right, brother.
Yep.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.